I've got three names, starting with Dave Gaethel.
Deja vu all over again. I actually have three items. I know we're behind schedule. I'll try and be as brief as possible. The first one is on the subject of disaster aid. I know that's not a council issue, but pretty much everybody that's involved in disaster aid is sitting at this table today. So my plea is for you to work through your differences and get on with this. Most of the fishermen in my state will not have worked for 5 months by the time the rolling closures are over. My congressional people voted for this with the basis that it was going to be distributed to fishermen to solve their individual problems. And, I really think you should try to compromise, work your differences out, and get this out the door to the states yesterday if possible. That's number one. Number two is we received a letter here as groundfish fishermen. It's entitled Court Order Change to the Fishing Year 2013 Carryover Amounts. And I would like to know, I'd like to know two things. One is, first of all, we didn't know anything about it. So, and I brought this up to the council before when I was a council member. Under the Equal Opportunity for Justice, this suit was apparently filed in Washington, D.C., and I think fishermen were denied equal opportunity for justice. So what I'd like to know is there any plan on the part of the agency to appeal this decision? And if so, can that appeal be filed in the district court in Boston?
Well, this was asked when I presented this case on Tuesday. And I said we haven't made a final decision on appeal, but we are not leaning towards appeal because we don't necessarily disagree with the court's findings of obligations under the Madison-Stevens Act concerning how carryover may come into play in setting catch limits. The appeal would have to be done in the circuit in which the case was brought, which is not Boston. So if there is an appeal, it would have to be done there.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, then I'm going to make a hearty appeal for you to reconsider your inclination not to appeal. National Standard 10, safety at sea, probably the only part of Amendment 16 I agreed with was putting in carryover because it's a matter of safety. At the end of March, my fishing year ends at the end of March because of the rolling closures. At the end of March, two out of the last 3 years, we've had a three-day northeaster. I don't want people going to sea because they're going to lose that fish. That is a matter of great importance to me. And I don't think you should let, just because, one misogynistic group wants to have blood on their hands to control the actions of others, I don't think you should add yourself to that list. Somebody's going to drown. I guarantee it. Somebody will drown if this carryover is eliminated. And when that happens, people are going to have blood on their hands. And I can't state it any more bluntly than that. Which brings me to the third point in this letter, which is on the back of the letter. It says, the Gulf of Maine haddock overall ACL has already been exceeded based on recreational catch. Therefore, any use of carryover catch for this stock via sector will result in a pound-for-pound reduction of the sector's 2014 ACE for Gulf of Maine haddock. How exactly do I have to pay for somebody else's overage? I'm going to ask you all that question. You knew the recreational fishery was grossly over its haddock catch in January. You didn't shut it down. It's still going on. As we speak today, out of my harbor, there are probably 7 boats out carrying 40 to 60 people, catching an average of 40 to 50 haddock per customer, keeping 5 to 8 of those fish and throwing the rest of them back. The haddock quota for the recreational fishery is 35 tons. Even with the new measures you just put into effect, I will virtually guarantee you that the charter and head boats out of my harbor alone will catch more than 35 tons of haddock in May. So what are you going to do about it? So what I'm going to do today is request emergency action to close the recreational fishery to gear capable of catching groundfish until something is done to control the catch limit in this fishery. It is an annual catch limit with the word catch underlined. It's not an annual landing limit. Reducing the landings to 3 fish a person does nothing but litter the ocean with dead fish. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dead haddock. The 2010 year class is real. We've been telling you that for 2 years. Nobody's done anything about it. 40 to 50 fish a person. This didn't come from their websites, although it's there too. I get out and actually talk to fishermen. I talk to fishermen in the hash joints that surround these places to find out what they're catching. I talk to the crew. You want to know what's going on in a party boat? Talk to a crewman. They're all telling me the same thing. And
you're bumping up on 6 minutes, so
okay,
thank you for your comments. John Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Williamson, under contract with Ocean Conservancy. I'm going to try to briefly put a couple of things on this council's radar screen. Had a conversation with the Research Steering Committee last week and try to build on some of that conversation. As most of you are aware, we had a trip, arranged a trip last year to UK for a few people from the fishing industry here in New England and Mid-Atlantic. Rick Robbins and I were among that group. I went there to tour a wind farm, talked to ocean planners and fishermen in the UK about their experiences with wind power development. And then in the last few months, we brought some of the fishermen that we met there in UK here to the United States. Talked to fishermen here, participated in a workshop that the Mid-Atlantic Council put on, and even 2 weeks ago we had a couple meetings in Montauk and in New Bedford with a very experienced gentleman from the Irish Sea. What's the lessons to be learned from what's going on in Europe and in the UK is that the technology of offshore wind power technology is progressing much more quickly than anybody here anticipates. It's growing in strength and power of the turbines that are being used. It's expanding into deeper water environments. Okay, and if the experience of what we're seeing in Europe, if this industry goes to scale here at anything approaching the scale that it's developing in Europe, that the seascape on the Atlantic seaboard is going to be very different 10 years from now than it is today. And that will mark a new era in ocean management. The BOEM has, at this point, has permitted, zoned 2,000 square nautical miles between southern coast of Massachusetts and Chesapeake Bay. 2,000 square nautical miles are zoned for wind power development. We have a lease sale that was granted last summer in the Massachusetts area for deep water wind, and one to Dominion Energy in the Virginia area. And then we're anticipating maybe 3 or 4 more lease sales in the Rhode Island, Massachusetts area this coming summer, and others in Delaware and Maryland wind development areas. When a developer receives a lease sale, then the developer has up to 5 years, can take less time, but up to 5 years to collect information for an EIS, prepare an application for construction and operation. Okay, so the clock is already ticking for 2 developers now are in the process of putting their applications together, and they're a year into that process already. This has big implications for fisheries. And there is no There are no pathways at this point that have been created for information from fisheries clearly to get into the process for developers to consider in their design phase. One of the lessons coming out of Europe and UK is that the opportunities for the fishing industry to help shape and guide the placement and configuration of wind developments, the opportunities to do that are at the very beginning of the design phases. The longer the developer has invested in specific design and configurations, the further down the road he gets into design, the more investment's been made, the harder it is to make changes, the more expensive it is to make changes. So the best time for the fishing industry and the fishery management community to get involved with these developers and shape the process is now, in the case of the Deepwater Wind proposal. And as soon as these other lease sales are accomplished. So it's the time is now, and it's not clear where the responsibility falls for the fishing community to take up these matters and to make their voices heard. If there's a doorway for this, it hasn't been opened clearly. There's nobody standing there with a sign saying, move this way. So I'm asking the Fishery Management Council, one, if you think it's part of your responsibility that you start to establish this conversation with BOEM. Two, there's a lot of information surfacing in Europe now. After 10 years of wind power development in Europe, there's a lot of information beginning to surface as to the effects of wind farms, how they interact with fisheries, how they interact with fish species, fish behavior patterns, potential impacts, mortality, essential fish habitat. These things are research is beginning to surface, but it's not clear where to get it, how to get it. We need a repository for this information. I was asking the research steering committee if they were a possibility for doing that. And then finally, three, it would be good to get the fishing industry involved in the basic elements of defining what are the information criteria that developers need to investigate in setting baselines for developments. So where does that conversation happen? How do we get fishermen and the fishing industry involved in defining what science is needed at this stage rather than after the fact? For wind power development. So those are my thoughts, and I hope the council has some ability to act on them.
Ron Smolowitz, you had your name on the list. Anybody else from the audience? Seeing not, we're going to turbo right into the industry funded monitoring omnibus amendment, funded monitoring omnibus amendment, funded monitoring omnibus amendment, funded monitoring omnibus amendment.